Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter and Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shinazzi. How are you going, mate?
You're too kind, as usual, Newman. It's good to speak to you. Good to speak to all of our listeners. We've been away for a little while. We're back. We're back when it matters. Finals time. I can't wait to get into it, Newman.
And the official records will read that the Sharks rolled a pretty plucky old Newcastle Knights 26 points to 18 on Sunday afternoon in front of a full McDonald Jones Stadium in Newcastle, which completes the home and away section for the 2017 season. And the Sharks completed the season in fifth position on the NRL ladder with 15 wins from 24 starts and ended up with 34 points with a points differential of 69 points. The goal was top four. Unfortunately, we couldn't make it there, but I guess we just have to take it, Samuel.
It's close, Newman. It's super close. It's probably not where we want to be. You're 100% correct. I think, though, that they're where they deserve to be, in all honesty. The way they've played all year, they've showed some bright spots. They've certainly showed some low spots. At the moment, they're just kind of hovering in between, and that's where fifth place kind of is these days. There's a bit of class above them, a bit of riffraff below them, and they're just kind of hanging close to the middle. So, to be fair, that's where they kind of deserve to finish.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. They were close. Had they won one more game, they would have finished fourth above Parramatta. They would have had to win two more to finish any higher than that, and they would have had to win five more to take out the minor premiership. So, I mean, it's a pass mark without being excellent. We're certainly behind where we were last year. But the game itself was very much a tale of the season. We started very strong, sprightly out of the blocks, but then penalties, errors, poor decisions in defence let the opposition back in and made us look worse than what we probably are.
Yeah, completely agree. It was 18-0 after 22 minutes and you thought, well, this could be 62-0 again. They were clinical. And it was very exciting to see them play that like that finally at this time of the year. But the errors and the penalties did creep in. Interestingly enough, my friend, we finished behind the other mob with handling errors and only just lost the penalty count by one. So all those errors and penalties, they sort of crept up at the one time and they just sort of steamrolled. So the first 20, 25 minutes, there was just brilliance. But then, as you said, it crept in and probably appeared worse than what it was. But at this time of the year, you really need to start finishing teams off. And for me, at the moment, Newman, my biggest worry is that they can't finish teams off. And fair enough, in finals, you just want to win the game. But, you know, the better teams are going to power away.
Yeah, and that game was definitely one where we could have seemingly easily powered away. Newcastle with not much to play for, plenty of young players with not much reputation out there that sort of can throw the towel in pretty early, and we just invited them back into the game. Jimmy Maloney again with a lot of penalties, and as you said, was watching it with a lot of friends, and it was just seemed to be like we do something stupid, and Newcastle would be like, "Well, hold my beer, you want to see stupid?" You know, they turn around and do something equally as poor. So it wasn't a great spectacle of rugby league. I did read a fair bit into Shane Flanagan's comments where he said, look, I've got a really experienced squad and it's difficult for them to get up for games like this.
Yeah, we've heard that a bit this year, haven't we?
We have. And many times it hasn't washed for me, but when you know you're in the finals and you know you can't finish top four after results happened the night before, I can understand that they're just trying to get through the game without getting injured and exerting themselves too much, because after 26 rounds of home and away, I can tell you there's probably a few niggles out there. And, you know, we've got a relatively old squad, So those guys would be thinking, look, let's just get the 2 points and get on the bus, and whichever way we get them, it doesn't really matter. I do understand that. And as a fan, you want to see them play well every week and blow a team away when the opportunity's there. But I do understand Coach Flanagan's point, and Gal backed him up and sort of said, look, even though it got close on the scoreboard, I never felt like we were in any danger and we're always going to win. So,
well, I guess that's been the theme of the year, Newman. So if that's what they're going with, as fans, we probably need to get on board and adapt to that and adopt that policy. You know, here we are waiting for them to click. When are they going to click? Are they going to click? Well, maybe they just want to win games. They don't really care how or why. They just win. And if at the end of the day they get glory again, well, that's obviously going to be good enough for us fans. We won't really worry about how we got there. So, and you're completely right. Like, it's the end of a long year and the new season begins this week. You know, guys like Louis and Gal and even Hyington, they don't want to be injured. They're older guys. They don't want to be injured. They're experienced enough to know they're going to win this game. As you say, they're not going to drop. They weren't going to drop unless they got thrashed by Newcastle to sixth place. So it was a nothing game, and that is one way to look at it. I guess my only issue is they've been doing it all year.
Yeah, and we're looking for some form going into the finals too. Mm. We're looking for a team that's hitting their straps, because it's a sudden. You can say what you want about the Cowboys game, but the reality of it is it's sudden death.
Yeah,
and we want form going into that game so that we know we go out there knowing that the team's humming, and that's not the case. And what we saw on Sunday was what we've seen in many, many previous weeks, where we put together a good patch of football and then follow it up or put it in a bracket with some poor football. And that's what we've done all season. And it just so happens that our good football was at the start of the game. So we were able to make it too hard for Newcastle. But in other games, when we've played poor at the start of the game and then better later on, it hasn't necessarily mean that we've won. But some interesting selections. I thought it was a bright debut for Jesse Ramian Noodle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. He's got a great try, and he looks strong in the way he runs. His defense looks, you know, decent. They didn't probably throw too much at him, but he did everything right, and he definitely looks a prospect. Didn't let us down. I love that in a young player. And, you know, he's been itching to get in there. He's been in the full-time squad all year. So he definitely took his chance, Newman.
Yeah, agreed. I love the way that he was just the direct runner to the try line when he got that opportunity, which we haven't really had a centre like that who is just an out-and-up try scorer for a long time. Bird's sort of a ball player, and, you know, Ricky Latelli, the Ben Pomeroys, the Colin Bests, those sort of players have never been direct try scorers.
Yep. But
what surprised me about Ramian Noodle was he's a big body and he can motor.
Yeah, he looks tough. He looks tough and he can motor. You know, we'll get to the letters a little bit later on, but some people, you know, want him to stick around, so we'll discuss that in a little bit. Tell you what. From the young to the old, Newman, Paul Gallen.
Wow.
I think.
Vintage performance.
This is off record, people, so don't go tweeting it. Off record, I think it's the second highest amount of meters he's run in a single game. 26 runs for 280 meters. Bunch of other stuff, like 7 tackle busts, 6 offloads, 24 tackles. He made a line break. He was unbelievable. He played 75 minutes. He was filthy about coming off for the 5 that he did. Yeah. You know, probably top 5 club performances maybe for him. It's kind of hard now that he's got so many telling up. But, gee, he really led from the front.
Freaky good. There's a lot of younger players that need to have a look at that performance by Gallen and have a good hard look in the mirror when they see a man at his age with the damage that's been done with his body pulling numbers out like that. Because – and I wonder if Gal was motivated by this talk about Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk being in the most vintage form of their careers, very much in the back of their career. I wonder if that was a motivating factor. But, mate, I'll tell you what, He was phenomenal, and that's why he's an elite player.
He's an elite player. It's kind of worrying in a sense, Newman, that if he plays like that against the Cowboys, the rest of them could possibly play as average as they did, and we'd probably still win because he was that good.
Yeah,
he was scary good.
He was scary good and an elite player. And another point worth bringing up is Gal has played every game in season 2017, hasn't missed a game.
Okay, good start.
So one of the things that sort of you and I rallied around early on in our career discussing the Sharks was Paul Gallen's unavailability around the 2012-2013 seasons, where he just seemed to miss so many games and we were frustrated about it. But
got in a bit of trouble too.
Yeah, to get 26 games out of him in a season, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about players playing average. We've got to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Townsend, What is going on? He has now dropped the ball from just a standard pass from dummy half to his chest like four times in the last two games.
Yeah, and a few times, you know, close to the fifth tackle, so it's a bit of a concern. It could be something. He's obviously taking his eye off the ball when it's coming to him. Remember this time last year, he had a little bit of a freak out too. He scored a great solo try. His kicking wasn't too bad, but you're right, his errors are piling up. Him and his little mate Jimmy, few negative stats there between the two of them.
He's and in the previous game against the Roosters, Chad Townsend did the same thing, just dropped the ball from first receiver, and that handed them possession and handed them the game. Now, I'm not the kind of guy who says he cost us the game with one error because the game is 80 minutes long and there were other, but he has cost us. It has hurt the team, those kind of errors, and we can't afford that kind of, like, it's your halfback's just got to catch the ball from dummy half. I mean, come on. And you're right, Maloney doesn't look comfortable. His defence, if he does, he misses the first tackle almost every time now. Like, he gets bumped off almost every time. When he does get hold of him, he holds on too long. He's getting pinged by the referees.
Yeah.
Or he's throwing an arm out and hitting them high. Like, it's just, and it's hurting the team.
I'm not too fussed about the missed tackles because we know he goes high because he's a little guy, comes out early, tries to break it up. Hopefully his mates help him out. That's just the style they do. We can't change that. But the little penalties, he's on the cheat sheets. He's the first guy. They open up the cheat sheets, the ref. It's a picture of James Maloney. And
go, watch him lying around the ruck.
Yeah, and if he's on there for, say, a second less than someone else, he's still going to get penalised because he's a repeat offender. So mm-hmm. I don't know how he stops that. I guess he's just got to be more diligent in the way he gets up in the ruck and how he handles himself. We did give a lot of penalties on the line, I think on purpose, to get the line back together. Sometimes that can go against you. It didn't hurt them too much. I think they went close to a sin bin. They did get the official warning. I'm also a bit worried about the defense on the line, Newman. Not so in the middle, especially.
Not good.
What's happening there?
There's only one team that's humming towards the semifinals, and that's Melbourne. But Melbourne don't concede those easy tries like that on their own try line. Like, they just have more integrity in their goal line defense. Mm. And it's not something that you can switch on. Either you have it or you don't. And it's a real concern from mine that teams, when they get ball in field position, they score against us. Yeah. And I don't see them turning it around. I think a big thing compared to last year is the swap from Ennis to Brayley. Brayley just doesn't have the body size. Mm. You know, if they can isolate him on the line, get a big body running at him, it turns out that they get a try. I'm not going to crucify him for it, but you know, he's just not as good at defending on the line as Ennis was. He will get there, but it's not going to solve itself in the short term. Maloney, it's the same story. And it's a concern, Samuel.
And we saw someone I'm very fond of, Bakuya, run out of the line a couple of times last week, which cost us. Again, it's not, you know, one guy doesn't lose you a match, or I guess one guy can cost you a try, but seems like little brain snaps from people we're not used to having them. He's a pretty calm, cool guy. Last week I saw him do some horrendous defensive decisions.
Yeah, he's gone funky, hasn't he?
I believe in the guy. I think that, you know, I think maybe it's what Flano's saying, a big match and they turn up. We saw Capewell start in the second row, Newman.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of him? He played a full 80 minutes.
I like him, but can someone get him some longer studs?
I thought he did a lot better than the Roosters game. The Roosters game, he didn't stay upright.
He just slips over so much.
It's the way he runs, right? Like he kind of turns at an angle and...
But he just, it seems like he gets a half opportunity and then falls over.
he's a great fella, but...
He's a big, ungainly body, and I like him in the back row. I do, but I just think wish he could turn a few of those opportunities into line breaks and into tries. He always looks like he's trying to bust the line or score a try when we're close to the line. Like he always looks like he's...
Which is good. That's a good thing.
Which is good, yeah. But
the bench was Bakuya, Hyington, Lattimore, Seguiaro. Hyington had a lot more energy, only a short stint, 20 minutes. Lattimore and Bakuya were, you know, pretty innocent in what they did. Segi played the last 12 minutes.
What's the point? What is the point?
Is it there as a backup maybe at this point? I don't know.
I don't know, mate. I think it's one of those coaching selections where you paid a lot of money for a bloke and it hurts too much to drop him because he's not doing anything for me. Seguiaro, defence, attack, nothing.
Mm.
I wasn't a big fan when we signed him. I always saw him as a flashy player who was able to do something quite good, but in terms of like your minute-by-minute systems in the game, he was never one of those type of players, but I thought that might work to have that spark because the rest of our systems were so good. But he's just, he's one of these dummy halves that feels the need to pick the ball up and take two steps before passing it every time, but he doesn't engage the markers.
Now, Newman, we've been away for a little while. I don't know if we have talk since the Roosters game, but
we haven't.
You want to talk about guys costing us matches?
He was poor. His
that last or one of those sets leading up to the field goal attempt. I call it the old Statue of Liberty move. He just froze a dummy half, and then 14,000 people were saying, "What are you doing?"
Is that was the one after he ran it literally around in a circle?
Yeah. That was alarm bells. And from there, I think that, you know, Chad dropped the ball after one of those ones as well.
Chad was put under pressure. I remember texting you and you sort of saying, oh, that was Chico's fault. Mm. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. Mm. You know, we gave it to Chad. Chad's got to catch it. But he was put under a lot more pressure than he needed to be by Seguiaro just being crazy.
Yeah.
Like, in my view, a good dummy half – He gives the ball great service, quick service, early service on the chest when it's needed. And when the opposition's going backwards and he can steal 10, 12, 15 metres, he doesn't. Seguiaro does neither. And he's caught somewhere in the middle. And I'm yet to see this spark or X factor or this great play that he's supposed to bring to the table.
Does he need a big off season or something? Does he need a proper, you know, 6 weeks training with the guys without injury or suspension or whatever it was that kept him out for so long? Are we missing something? Because he was a decent player.
I don't know, mate. I mean, Ennis, the reason we went so well, Ennis was such a big part of that because he was a leader and he had a really great football brain. I mean, you see his analysis. He has a tremendous coaching style football brain, and he and Flano worked together on the way the team was going to play. I just don't see that from Seguiaro. I see Seguiaro just sort of runs on the field to see, you know, what he can do and if he can make a couple of breaks and score a couple of tries, that's good. But if it's a dogfight and he's got to get involved in the middle, then it's just beyond him. And I also feel he's probably suffering from that. Well, he's only getting 12 minutes and he feels he's got to really shine. So instead of just putting his head down and working away, he's on the field is like, oh, okay, I've got to earn my money here in the 10 minutes, and it's to the detriment of the team. I still don't understand Flanagan's use of the bench.
Yeah. Well, you and I were in shock when Seggy came on in the 68th minute, because at that point we were trying to wrap the game up and you know, not let them score.
And Brayley looked fine, right?
Yeah, and then he brings on a, you know, in inverted commas, flashy, less defensive hooker. It's like, what are you doing here?
And I don't understand the use of the bench. I think Tagger might be injured, and that's why Hyington's there.
He is.
But Hyington, it's a season too many for me, mate. I think his effectiveness is just not there.
He was trying so hard last week. It was good to see. Hard. Like he was really putting in. But yeah, he's a smaller forward and an older forward as well. And we've learnt this week. The rumor is that he's going to retire. The Sharks haven't offered him a new contract, but
talking about him retiring mid-season,
yeah,
after he played his 250th or whatever, and Lattimore's not doing anything for me either. He's just a big,
he's solid. He's not, big, yeah,
yeah.
I think we got a lack of troops in the end. Is what we got?
Yes, I mean when if Tagger, Bird, and Graham come back. Graham are definitely meant to come back.
Yeah, that's a good
those
point.
Those three come back in, and
but all even of a then, sudden, I think there's still a bit of a lack of depth down to your 20th man or whatever. I mean, next year we've bought a few more younger, bigger guys. The fella from the Cowboys, fella from the Tigers, we'll have a few bigger boppers there. But I think this year, I don't know. I guess you win the comp, and it's like, oh, we don't need to do too much, you know. And,
well, the team's going to fall off a cliff at some point with the likes of Gallen, Hyington, Lewis, Maloney, you know, so quote unquote long in the tooth. There's going to come a point where you just fall off the cliff. So if they haven't recruited and managed the system, the squad well to deal with that, we're going to have be in a rebuilding phase really quickly. But we look at Gallen's performance on the weekend. He doesn't look like he's fallen off a cliff anytime soon. Luke Lewis has been great. Hyington is really the only one showing that he's feeling the pinch of father time. So it was an interesting game. It's an NRL game. We won it. We got the 2 points. We roll into the finals. And no one's really going to remember it. So we got the win, and why don't we cut to a break, Samuel? And on the other side, we'll come back with the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Dykes, Ellinghausen, Peachy. Fullback playing it. Oh, Campbell's over. Canberra. Well, they just opened up. It was almost like a traffic cop saying, down here, come through here. And Campbell gets the try.
We'll be right back.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news. What is the first cab off the rank, Samuel?
The NYC Super Kids, Newman. They're human. They've lost two in a row. They lost to the Knights 36-24.
Yep.
They did finish first with 19 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw, 43 points. I believe, 9 points ahead of the next team.
Yeah, so four and against, hardly worth worrying about.
For and against, 474 points.
And my boy Loomy was strong. I enjoyed watching them on TV.
Yeah, yeah. All the usual suspects were going well.
I tell you, that Metcalf's a talent.
Yeah.
It's a bummer we've lost him.
Yeah, yeah. He's off to Manly next year. Bozo knows a good talent. Now, they will play 1:30 p.m. on Sunday against Parramatta, and that is, of course, the game before the Sharks NRL team. So both NRL teams playing one after – sorry, both Cronulla teams playing one after another. NYC 1:30, NRL just after 4, SFS, we're all going to be there. It's going to be awesome. That also leads me, Newman, to the – NYC Team of the Year, Holden Cup Team of the Year, as they call it.
Should be 1-17 Cronulla Sharks players.
It's close. Johnny Morris, our friend Bomber, the great man, Coach of the Year, and rightly so.
Yep.
Sione, the future number 2, Katoa.
Yeah.
Jesse Ramia Noodle, your boy.
Yeah.
Kyle Flanagan.
Yeah.
Britton Nakora, who I just love. Billy Magoulias and Blake Braley all made the Team of the Year.
Awesome. And they were big names. No Loomy though. Travesty, Samuel.
Yeah, yeah. He was close, I'm sure. And we did hear from a close source of the club that at least 11 of the team are signed for at least next year and beyond. We don't have names for you, but you could probably do the math there. But, there's some talent there, my man.
Well, Samuel, it's just I know I'm speaking to the guys down the club. Like, obviously, we get most of our info from Rob and Rob Willis, and he just said they're trying really hard to retain as many players from that system as they can. But the other clubs are sniffing around because they're all so good. So, 11 out of 17 is not a bad result when there's a lot of clubs throwing big money around for under-20s players. It goes to a different system next year, so these guys are tried and tested. And would we like to see more of them in first grade? Probably yes, when you see a debut like Jesse Ramian's, for example.
Oh, yeah, and I think that next year you'll see some of the guys come up, whether it's through injury or just through not being able to hold them back. Obviously, you know, later on in the year, they're just a really good team to watch. A few people have been tweeting me asking about should they be concerned that they've lost two in a row, and the answer is no. They're going to click when it's finals time. The NRL team is telling you they're going to click when it's finals time. I assure you, the NYC team, they're ready to go. Like, they're just leaps and bounds ahead of the next mob. They're the Melbourne Storm of the NYC.
Now, did the Newtown Shark Jets play? Do we
done,
care?
Done, all over. They're into the finals. Done.
All right, so their finals start a week early.
Yes.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm with you, because their grand final thing have the national competition. All right, now, so news of the Shark cast. We have not been available to pod. It's just been a very tough time for both of us. I've been traveling a lot for work. Samuel, you've had, we've both had sick kids, but you've had the worst of it.
Yeah, but we're getting through it now, and we appreciate everyone understanding. In the past, you guys haven't been so understanding, but we appreciate it this time around, and we certainly want to give a shout-out, as Ray Hadley-esque as this is, to our friends at Dyson Logistics, Shark Island Brewing, and, of course, Endeavour Services Property, because they support what we do, and, you know, we like talking about them every week, and when we can't do it, we're not doing it, we appreciate their support as well. But yeah, we're hanging in there, Newman.
Yeah, just rest assured, it's not because we've got better things to do. It's been a tough old couple of weeks, particularly for you, Sam. So, Yeah, we will try our level best. I think we're pushing up on 100 episodes, so that shows our level of commitment.
Yeah.
And we'll be here every week for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that I go on ski trips all the time, Samuel.
You like the ski. You like the snow. I hear you're pretty good at it. So why not? No.
All right. Now, game this weekend against the North Queensland Cowboys. So I'll be in the Cricketers Arms Hotel from about an hour before kickoff. So if anybody wants to come down and have a drink, it'll be a Sharkcast function. Keep an eye on the socials up to there because we'd like to lock a few more details in closer to the date. But we would like to get together with everyone and have a drink at the Crick. The Cricketers, if you've never been there, is just a hop and a skip across to the ground, and it should be red hot. Now, man, I got my email about the tickets, and it's $30 for the member of the club to sit in great seats. If there isn't a better advertisement for membership, then I don't know what is, Samuel.
Is that right? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so you get your code and you log on, and they've got Sharks supporters bays allocated, and they're good seats, and they're $30.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I mean, you know, sometimes with these supporters bays, you're at the, you know, other ends of the world trying to see your team, and I really feel sorry for people who sit in those seats sometimes because I couldn't put up with it. I can't see that far. But if what you're telling me is true, which of course it is, then that's a great initiative from the clubs and, dare I say it, from the NRL.
Now, Sam, have you got your ticket yet? Would you like me to get you one?
Look, I think my big brother might have sorted me out, but I'll confirm that with you. But wherever I'm going to be amongst brothers and sisters, and I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, we'll be hanging around beforehand. We're not quite sure. I might be there a little bit earlier before you, but who knows, maybe not. We'll be around. We want to high-five you. We want to talk about Sharks and rock and roll and whatever else is going on. And it's going to be cool. There's nothing like finals time. There's nothing like it. And we're so fortunate. 5 out of the last 6 seasons, Newman, we're there.
Is that right? Five out of the last 6.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just that one awkward year in 2014.
Sydney Football Stadium has been relatively happy hunting ground for us.
Recently,
there was one hiccup against Manly, but other than that, it's been pretty good, and we've beat the Cowboys there twice. So,
well, look, Mr. Stats, man, let me up the ante. We've won 5 out of the last 7 there in finals matches, including the past 3. Overall, Newman, just 6 of 16 at the SFS in the finals. Mate, but that's the past.
Yeah, that's the past. Like, I much prefer that we won the last 3 there.
Yeah.
Any other news? Signing news? Oh, Matt Moylan. Moyza. What do you know about this? Because I approached the club, and the club said to me, Matt Moylan is currently contracted with Penrith. So that was a straight bat. That was a don't ask, don't tell. What do you know, Samuel?
I know that he doesn't want to be there. I don't know if they're going to let him go like they let go a lot of other great players in the past. There's at least 6 or 7 clubs, including Cronulla, who want him. But wanting someone and making it happen is a different story. We currently have someone who wants an upgrade. That would be James Maloney.
Now, I want to talk about him.
Yeah, we will. Matty Moylan's a very good player.
Moyza.
I'm not completely sold on the attitude, just personally.
Yeah, well, Moyza.
You just want him to come so you can do that every time he gets the ball.
Every time he gets the ball, that's right. I don't know. Good player.
Great player.
Hard to know what's going on until it comes out. You never like it when players, you know, like to walk out on their current contracts with the club for whatever reason. That's always alarm bells. So I don't know. If we get him and move Maloney on, I don't know. Let's tie it in. James Maloney.
Let's go.
I was very, very, very irritated at his comments about that he made in the Sydney Morning Herald as what is he? Is he? He's not the president of the Rugby League Players Union, but he's an outspoken player, I'd say. he's an outspoken member, but his comments that everybody around the game was superfluous and without the game there was no players was a grating and arrogant assessment and has really taken the sheen off Jimmy Maloney for me. And I'm going to speculate that all of this contract talk, all of this stuff about taking a stance with the NRL is distracting him from playing his best football.
Okay.
But the comments, he's come out and said, oh, no, he was only talking about the administration of the game.
Yeah.
And he was saying that all the management guys in the NRL, they don't have a job without the players. And you know what? That's a fair point. But I'll tell you this. The players do not have a job without the fans. It is the fans, people like you and me, Sam, who purchase the Foxtel subscriptions, who purchase the memberships, who talk about the games with their friends, who buy the papers, and who put the lifeblood, the money, into the game so the players like Jimmy Maloney can get paid multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to play a game. Because without the fans, he can go down to Cronulla Carrying Bar or Gaimier on Sunday afternoon and see what the game looks like with no money when it's blokes playing it for free.
It's a bit tougher.
Because that's what the game is without fans. And for him to turn around and say that they're not the fans are without the players, there's no game. Well, Jimmy, there's no money in the game without the fans. And it's arrogant and it's ill-advised and it made me really, really angry. Now, I'm going to, before I pull up here, right, I work hard and you work hard. I went to university for 8 years to get the job.
8 years?
That's right.
That's a lot of partying.
Yeah, I got a master's degree to get the job that I've got. Now, I still only earn a fraction of what Jimmy Maloney earns. And a guy who lives in Sydney and earns the average wage in Sydney earns 10 times less per year than Jimmy Maloney. And if Jimmy Maloney wants to cry poor, I want to see him look a bloke, a brickies labourer, who earns $54,000 a year before overtime in the eye and tell him that he should get paid more. That's what I want him to do.
You know what this is, Newman? This is your Fifita moment.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? When I wanted him thrown out of the country.
That's right.
Look, you're revved up. I respect everything you said. And I hear everything you've said. I agree with you about his dip in form. It's got to be related to everything that's going on. And that is annoying, particularly when he's outspoken about wanting an upgrade. Based on his past, I'm happy to give him an upgrade. But he needs to start playing well as of this week and onwards. As for the interview, I'm giving him a bit more leeway because I read the whole article. I'm not saying you didn't. I read the whole article and I read it slightly differently. And this is before he came out and before Andrew Webster came out as well and backed him up. I just read it slightly differently. And I did think he was talking about the administration. I didn't think he was talking about the old man in the corner doing the lines on the grass for free. That's my interpretation. You have a completely different one. I respect that. A lot of people have a different interpretation of my one. But I personally didn't think he was attacking the fans of the game. But that's my opinion.
But he has to be very careful, though.
Absolutely. By it was a fine line.
Not just in that quote. It's the action of threatening to strike, you know, to remove the product.
He's not alone.
I know, but he's been the most vocal. And the RLPA have distanced themselves from his comment. There was an article by Roy Masters in Sunday's Herald which said that the RLPA are very – they're embarrassed by what Maloney had to say and have distanced themselves from his comments. And one of the consultants retweeted basically high-fiving him, and then they had to delete the tweet, and the spokesman from the RLPA have distanced themselves publicly from Jimmy Maloney's comments. And it just galls me that he's standing there. It's the same thing with the Aussie cricketers, right? They turn around and want more money and bleat about earning more money. They're on big, big money, and they turn around and get beat by frigging Bangladesh.
Well, now you're talking more my language. I can relate to that. You're right. The money he's getting in his bank every week, he's not playing that way, unfortunately, this year. Last year, you know, made history. This year's a new year, and yeah, much like the Australian cricketers who got the cash in the end.
Well, the Australian cricketers weren't training because they were, you know, they were basically on strike, and it didn't get that far with Jimmy Maloney, but it's obviously playing on his mind, and that's why he gave such a long interview with the Sydney Morning Herald. He was talking about how he was able to shut it out, but he's clearly not. Anyway, I'm getting on a class warfare thing here. It just irritates me when very, very wealthy people cry poor.
Yeah, I think there is a time and place for it. I think that he's obviously using the public forum to get his message across and also try and get more money. But, we'd all prefer it if he did it in private. You know, when I go see my boss about a raise, I'm not telling all my workmates about it. I'm not telling all the world about it.
No. And you don't put a comment out of the media saying that, oh, without me doing the stats, there's no stats for Fox Sports. Because it's true.
Yeah.
But the thing Jimmy Maloney has to realise, and if Sam Shenazzi was to do the same thing, they just find someone else to do it. Might not be as good, might not be as experienced, but that, yeah. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. We'd love to hear from you about this issue. Did Jimmy Maloney's comments, did his luster wear off for you as a Shark supporter? We'd love to know. And speaking of, we've got the letters coming up, so we'll cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have the mailbag. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we go out the front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Eddinghausen Lane, Woolooware, and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed in the slot. Samuel has got a shark tooth-shaped envelope opener in his hand, and he's going to rip open the first envelope. You can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @sharkcastpod. What do you got first off the bat, mate?
I got Dan. Dan is a great man. And he is referring back to the game against the Roosters. And he said, after tonight's game, we can assume that Seggy will get replaced. Or do you think Flano will stick solid? Well, we've answered that one already. We've also given an opinion, I guess. Do you have to carry him there as backup, Newman? Maybe you do.
No, I want him dropped. I don't see a benefit in carrying him when he hasn't got the form.
So do you want another forward, or do you want a utility, or what do you want? You want Captain America.
I want Paulo. I want
okay.
You get Bird, Graham, Tagatese come back in. So Hyington, Lattimore, and Seggy come off the bench, and you add Paulo.
Okay. He also says that the Western Bulldogs were the first AFL team to win the grand final outside the top four. We are still a chance for back-to-back. He lives in hope. We all do, Dan. I like that. That's a good attitude. Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Yeah. That's one thing we didn't talk about. Finishing fifth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to Melbourne.
Well, this is an interesting thing to me, Newman. I've been all over Twitter, as you know, and just reading stuff in the middle of the night, and everyone's got a theory, which is cool, and everyone's entitled to their theory, and for all I know, they may be right. But everyone's got a theory on where they wanted to finish, who they wanted to play, how it's going to shape out. What we do know is that anything can happen, man. All of us Sharks fans, we have us beating the Cowboys, and we have the Roosters beating Brisbane, and we have Para losing to Melbourne. So week two, we're playing against Para out at Homebush, probably on a Saturday night.
Yep.
And then the Roosters are already through to week three, so we play the Roosters week three in Sydney at the SFS, and then we go through to the grand final and play Melbourne. Yep. But what happens if Brisbane win this week? We go to Brisbane.
Yeah, and what happens if Melbourne somehow lose to Parramatta?
Yeah, it is cool, though. It's cool reading everyone's opinion and insightful, and you learn stuff. But you're right, fifth place, if it goes to plan, Newman, it is doable to get there. It is doable.
It is doable, and the big benefit of finishing, you really want to finish top two. When you talk about finishing top four,
you
want to finish top two because you get that home semi. And we were fortunate last year in that we went to Canberra and won. But if you finish third and fourth and then lose the first round, you're no better off.
No, not at all.
Because you've got to win four in a row and you're bashed up by playing the best teams. I do understand. I totally understand the theory that if we go, we play, if it goes to script, we don't have to go to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Then I think, you know, and we do roll Cowboys with a modicum of ease, then I think it's pretty good. And then we roll into three tough games in a row. I got one here from Michael from Canberra. Oh. And he says, so after 26 weeks, we came fifth with 15 wins, two less wins than last year and three more losses and no draws. If you had said it week one, that was on offer, I would have taken it given the lack of Barber and Ennis. That's a fair point. I agree with that. The deliciousness of the Raiders and Dragons missing out makes it even better. Now, we haven't talked about that, but that was
delicious. Absolutely.
And he just goes on to say what we've said. We've now faced the Cows. We should beat them. We should then beat Parramatta. And if we play the Roosters week three, I have no doubt we can win that. There is a road to the promised land here, people, but we need the team to lift and play like they reckon they have been able to play all year.
Haven't we won like one out of four games or something?
Yeah, I know.
Now we're going to turn it around and win four in a row.
And he said, time to get the Fifita mongrel back, Jack Bird get the swagger back, and time for Val and Chad to hold the footy, and time for Seggy to be fired into the sun.
Oh, that's why he's one of the best.
That's why he's one of the best.
And he's been good the last 2 weeks. And he's been playing direct, offloading, and he had a good game on the weekend.
He did. All right, what do you got there?
Where's Siggy going? Into the sun.
Into the sun.
Okay. We have Troy. Troy is from Maitland, of course, a great man. He says, Cowboys week one, probably the best opponent to draw. They have injuries. They have no support in Sydney. Paul Gallen was phenomenal yesterday. He is just a machine. 20s went down, but it must be hard to focus when you've wrapped up the minor premiership with a few rounds to spare. Hopefully they switch on for the finals now. Let's go Sharks. Yeah, Troy, it's all very apt, mate. You know what's going on, and that's all we completely agree with all of that. The Cowboys thing is very deja vu, isn't it? We've played them a few times now in the finals, and in Sydney, this will be the third time in, what, 3 or 4 years, and you know, we do have the support here, so... No excuses. We got some tweets, Newman. Got some tweets here.
Yeah, go, man.
We've got Aaron. This came in today. Aaron said, would you guys have Jesse Ramian in the team this week? So would he hold his spot for you, Newman?
No.
Yeah. Based on experience, you would have to throw it to Bird. He did say he would love to see him start next year. And I'd like to give him a shot at the very least, see how he goes.
And we've got one here from Kurt that says, all hail the return of Jaden Brayley. Our ruck looked on song with him on the field. Also, he and Matt Pryor leading our line speed, which was fantastic. He says he has faith restored now that Brayley is back.
Oh, I love him. Love him, love him, love him.
Yep.
I love the fact, Newman, that he's a kid, a talented kid, and he is going to make a few errors here or there. But overall, he brings so much to the team. And I think that if you have a junior in your system who is ready for that, so i.e. your Birds, your Valentines, your Brayleys, these guys who are just, you can't hold back any longer, I say throw them in and they make some mistakes. They're young. They're allowed to make mistakes. Like you said, he gets bumped off here or there on the line. Overall, does a great job. And I love the kid and I'm so glad he's back. And you know what? I haven't really told anyone this, Newman, but I really hope we play Manly at some point. And I hope he absolutely smashes that piece of shit, Dylan Walker, who broke his jaw.
Samuel, where did that come from?
Have you seen that video?
Yep.
I think it's disgraceful, man. If I see Dylan Walker in the street, I'm going to give him a gobful.
Yeah, good man.
I carry that good around man. With me. Sorry for the language.
Good man. All right. Please write into us, guys. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with the handle @sharkcastpod. This show is nothing without your input. So we're going to go to a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to preview the game against the Cowboys. So Sharkcast Radio.
Let's have a look. He's got the ball. He's got the ball. He's got the leg out. The leg's out. The Sharks will win. The leg is out. The Sharks will win.
The Sharks have just realised, looking at the big screen, there's a foot gone out. The crowd then resumed where they were a matter of 10 seconds ago.
All right, Samuel, it is semi-final time. I can't believe how quickly the season has gone. 26 rounds of home and away. Felt like it wasn't that long ago where we were kicking off. But the boys are in the top eight, and that is the goal at the start of the year. We have what seems to be a regular thing, a semi-final against the North Queensland Cowboys at the Sydney Football Stadium. Kickoff is at 4:10 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, and the Cowboys are depleted, so we'll go in as heavy favourites, Samuel.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We beat them only recently up in Townsville fairly convincingly. They have shown that they're not going to give up. They have shown that even when they're playing busted, they fight to the end. And they've shown that they've got some guys who can play some football. I've said it before, John Asiata, who's the prop, he's actually, you know, you Gavin Miller type, almost half/forward. They've got Tamari Martin, who's playing on one leg, but still a talented young dude. And guys like, you know, Gavin Cooper and, you know, I believe Morgan and those guys are still there. So it's not going to be easy, and they're definitely going to play to the end, so we've got to play as much of those 80 minutes as we possibly can. It's not really our thing this year, but, you know, if we can play for the majority of it, we should be right. But it's going to be a tough contest, I think, Newman.
Yeah, and you never know. They've been kissed on the dick with the Dragons losing. So, you know, they might have had a little bit of magic fairy dust sprinkled around, and they might get lucky. And we know, so like, it's our game to lose, right? But we know we've got a performance in us where we drop the ball, give away a lot of penalties, and we can play anyone back into the game. So I don't go in with a lot of confidence, but I'll tell you what, I'll be one disappointed individual if I leave that stadium at 6 o'clock on Sunday night and we didn't win.
Yeah, I think the thing in our favour, Newman, is we love the big showcase, and we set it the same thing up at Suncorp Stadium and got our pants pulled down really badly about a month ago. But generally speaking, they do like this environment.
Well, it's what Coach Flanagan has been pulling is basically saying, hold your horses, we're a semi-finals team, judge us on our performance in the semi-finals. So we've had to keep our powder dry. And now it is do or die. That is one thing about finishing fifth. You don't get a second shot. So if the boys don't pull out their big game arsenal, so to speak, and click, then we were right and Flanagan was wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's got the whole 2013/15 thing for me. Like 13 played that thrilling game against the Cowboys. Played a really good game against Manly and pretty unlucky not to win that. But I remember that's one of those games where I actually cheered them off and I was quite proud of them.
Yep.
Fast forward to 2015 after the horror year that was the year before and convincingly beat Souths, and then we went up to North Queensland and lost 39-0. So it's got that eeriness about it where anything can happen from one moment to the next. And that's why the 80 minutes is so important. And that's why I do kind of scoff a tiny bit at people who have already got us playing Melbourne in the grand final, because no one wants it more than me. Like, no one in this world wants it more than me. But from what I've seen this year, it's going to be a complete overhaul. We had one stretch this year where we put some games together. We didn't lose too many in a row. But the last 2 months, we haven't been able to put many games together. So it's... that's my concern. That's where we have to perform some sort of miracle.
We have to win four in a row.
Yeah.
And I don't like saying it, but I can't see. At this stage, I can't see anybody beating Melbourne. I think we're probably a team with a shot at it. But even if we play our very, very best, we're still going to need to be lucky to beat them just because they're just so freaky good at the moment.
Yeah, they are. They are. I think that we learnt last year that, you know, special things can happen. I think Parramatta are probably a year away from doing something kind of good, but they're in that spot where they can kind of do something. They've got, you know, a bit of momentum behind them. The fans are behind them the first time in however long. And all it takes is Melbourne to be off their game a little bit, the other team to be on their game. Last year, Sharks completed at what, like 90% or something in the grand final? And that was enough to get them across the line only just. I'm not one of these people that has Melbourne winning the title just yet. They're clear favourites, clear. And but I do think that, say a Cronulla or a Parramatta got there, a team that was really, you know, this passionate, boisterous supporter base and just underdogs in a lot of ways. I think there's a bit of magic there that could possibly do it. I don't know if your Penriths or your Manlys can do it, to be honest.
Well, let's be honest here. Penrith won't go anywhere. They got flogged on the weekend. Their best player doesn't want to play for them. Forget them. Manly, they're also up and down. You know, one week they're pumping aside. The next week they're getting pumped. Cowboys, if we don't knock them out week one, someone else will knock them out.
Mm.
So it's really a five-horse race. The Roosters have shown that they're a classy outfit. The Broncos have shown that they're a classy outfit. But the Broncos have also shown that if you look what Parramatta did to them.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, so
you're right. Melbourne are clear favourites. Like, I can't stress that enough. I'm not suggesting
they've won 20 games.
I know.
And they only lost one game without being origin affected. You know who that was, too, Samuel?
Can you remind me? That was the Mighty Sharkies. That's right, down there. That's what I mean, though. They are beatable. They are beatable. Yeah. They're not a perfect team. They're very, very well coached and. They have three guys who are, you know, some of the all-time best. So,
and they got the referees getting them home too.
Hey, this isn't a Storm podcast, dude. Come on, what's going on?
Well, it's just frustrating as a rugby league fan to watch them get leg up after leg up.
Frustrated? You're the premiers. We're the premiers. We're the best in the world. What's there to complain about? Come on.
Yeah. So we'll see everybody at the Cricketers Arms an hour before kickoff.
Maybe earlier.
On Sunday, yeah, maybe earlier. Keep an eye on social. Yeah. Sam, it was good to be back. Good that you're back.
Oh, I'm back, baby.
Make sure you write into us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. And as we say every week, Samuel?
It's our time to shine. Let's make history back-to-back. Sharks forever, whatever other thing you want to throw in. Come on. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Three cheers. Hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. We'll see you all soon. Go Sharks.
Time to